Amen. Thank you, Sharon. You can come anytime. This is the second in our stewardship series. There are four. And the series is First We Give of Ourselves, and it's all about grace, which is what enables us to give and allows us to give and encourages us to give. Next Sunday is United Methodist Women's Sunday, as I said earlier, and so we're skipping a Sunday, and we will pick up with this series the following Sunday. Now, you may have noticed that there's a lot in the bulletin this morning. There's a lot going on. I couldn't not give a message, but I made it as short as I could possibly do, and we pastors have a hard time doing that, trust me. I made it as short as I could, and I'm going to do it as fast as I can. So listen quick, all right? I want to tell you a story first. Flip Wilson. How many people knew who Flip Wilson was, or is, whatever? Comedian of a bygone era, the 1970s, so I would remember him. One of his characters was a preacher named Brother Leroy. Yeah, Brother Leroy was a Southern Baptist pastor, preacher. He was a preacher. And you know, in that church, people responded. When the pastor preached, people responded. And I love that. They say, say amen, and the people would say, amen. Amen. I love that. That's good. Okay, in one skit, he was encouraging his church to have an attitude of giving. So he told his congregation, if this church is going to get anywhere, it has to learn to crawl. Now, the people all heard this and they all responded, let it crawl, Reverend, let it crawl. And then he said, after it learns to crawl, it has to learn to walk. To which the people responded, let it walk, Reverend, let it walk. And he continued, after this church learns to walk, it has to learn to run. To which the people all responded, let it run, Reverend, let it run. And then he said, and if this church is going to run, it's going to take money. And it got really quiet in church. Until one little old man in the back of the church piped up, let it crawl, Reverend, let it crawl. Isn't that the way it is? I love that. You know, God is alive in our world. God is alive in our world through the ministries of Black River Falls United Methodist Church. That means you, all of you. This building doesn't do the ministry. You do the ministry. God is alive through the ministries that you do because God has called you to do them. Through the Sunday school program, children are learning about Jesus and about God and what it means to have faith and to grow up with faith and to trust God. Through the Wednesday meals, our youth are experiencing the great love of God as they are fed at a time when they need to be fed because they just came from school and they're going to be here till 7:30, 8 o'clock. And so through that program, our youth are being fed. The Mission and Outreach Committee makes us all look good through all of the missions and ministries that they support, and they encourage us to support in this church. From the Backpack Project, the Senegal Project, the sweaters that are knit for children that go to other parts of the world and other parts of the country, and so many more. That's just a little bit of what they do. This church is alive. There's much more that you will hear about on Celebration Sunday on November 12th. God is doing great things through this church. I firmly believe that. That doesn't mean that you and I can sit back and enjoy the scenery, because there is so much more that God wants to do through this church. And you know where I'm going with this. That is not going to happen unless we participate. Not look at the person next to us who's teaching Sunday school and say, good, she or he is doing it, I don't have to. As a matter of fact, I looked at the nursery sign-up sheet this morning and saw no names on it. And I want to tell you, we have young people in this church. We have parents who want to be in church without having to chase their kids around the sanctuary. I understand that. I've been there. And I was a pastor watching my child run around the sanctuary because there was no nursery. That's the way it was. We need nursery attendants. You do not have to have a young child to be a nursery attendant. You could be a grandparent, and they would love that. You could be a great aunt or uncle, and they would love that. The sign-up sheet's right in front of the door. All you got to do is put your name on for one Sunday. And the good news is, even when you're in there watching the kids, you can hear the message. Isn't that wonderful? That's why I promote it. That's why I do it. God is doing great things in this church, but that doesn't mean that we can sit back and enjoy the scenery. The only way that we will accomplish what God has called us to do is to have a mentality of giving, of generosity. You know, we live in an age when we expect a return on our investments. No matter what those investments are, we expect a return on them. I want to talk about the benefits to giving to God's work. This is a true story. Charlie Page was a young man. He was broke. He was jobless. One day he stopped on the street to listen to a Salvation Army preacher. Of course, if there's a Salvation Army preacher, there's also an offering. And after the preacher preached, the tambourine was passed for the collection, and a young girl held it out to him. And Charlie looked at her and said, "I'm sorry, I don't have anything to put in there. I can't even feed myself." The girl reached in her pocket, took out a dollar, handed it to Charlie, and said this, and I love this, "Take this, put 10 cents in the offering plate, and from now on, give 1/10 of all you get to God. Keep this up all your life and you'll never be penniless again." I love the faith of that young girl because she's so right. When we open up and give to God what is needed to do God's work, we don't become poor. We become rich. Not just rich emotionally because we've done good things. God repays what we give to Him. I know that's hard to believe. Charlie did just as the girl suggested. He got a job and he began giving 10% of his income to God's work. Isn't that wonderful? But that wasn't the end of it for Charlie. Eventually, he became a millionaire. And he gave more than 10%. He built hospitals to carry on the work of the Lord. And he did many other things. All for God. Because what God did for him early on. When we're faithful in our giving to God, there are benefits. There are benefits to our investment. We need to hear that. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Wherever you put your money, that's where you're going to find your heart. That's it. If your money is all tied up in investments in the stock market, that's where your heart is going to be. That's all you think about. If your money's all tied up in your house and making it better and bigger, or your toys or your hobbies, then that's where your heart will be also. If your money goes to giving your children and or your grandchildren everything their little hearts desire, which we'd love to do, then that's where your heart will be. But is it good for your children or grandchildren to get everything they want? Just a thought. And if your money is invested in the house of the Lord, then that is where your heart will be as well. You want to know where your heart is? Open up your checkbook. It might surprise you where your heart is. Money is like a magnet. Wherever we put it, it tends to pull our hearts. When you give to God, it's like a magnet that brings you closer to God. Isn't that wonderful? When you give to God, it's like a magnet that just brings you closer into His presence. And that's a good feeling. You know why? Because giving is in the very nature of who God is and what God is all about. That's all God does is give. That's who He is. No one can outgive God. You can try, but no one can outgive God. The truth is, God doesn't need your money. You know why? Because God owns everything. Everything you have is God's to begin with. It was all given to you as a gift to be used for your good and for God's good. What God wants is what your money represents. You know what that is? It's your heart. Second, giving strengthens our faith. The reality is that you and I only have so much money to work with. We all do, however much we make. And you might wonder, how's God going to meet my needs if I put Him first? And let me tell you, that was my attitude when we were a young family and we had little children. How am I going to, God going to meet my needs if I give Him milk money? But over the years, I've learned to trust Him. And my children always had milk and more. Isn't it amazing? So which of you do you think has the strongest desire and ability to meet your needs? You or God? Who owns it all? In the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 3:10, God says, I love this one. God says, bring your full tithe into my house so that there may be food in my house. And thus, it doesn't end there. Don't just bring in your tithe. God says, put me to the test. Go ahead. See if I will not open up the floodgates of heaven for you and pour down for you an ever-flowing blessing. Go ahead. There's one thing that God will let us test him on. That's it. Our giving. Put him to that test. And if you put him to that test, you're going to find out that God is faithful, and then you're going to give him more of your life. It's amazing how that is. In a nutshell, God is saying, I dare you to put me first and see how I'll bless you. You know, there are more promises in the Bible about giving than about anything else. Jesus talked more about giving than he did about heaven and hell. Must be a reason for that. I think it's because giving is the very essence of who Jesus was. And he wants us to be like him. He wants us to be like him and to be giving and loving and forgiving and generous, just like Jesus was. Think about the feeding of 5,000. In a nutshell, when you give, it shows that you trust God to meet your needs. Do you? Do you? If you don't, pray about it. If you don't, talk to someone about it. If you don't trust God to meet your needs, Lord, read that Bible. Because God wants to meet your needs, but he also wants you to meet his. It shows that you trust God, you believe his promises to meet all of your needs. So here's where it is. If you and I are going to continue to do all that God wants us to do through the ministries of this church, in Jesus' name and for his sake, you know it's going to take money. That's all there is to it. The church doesn't run itself. The government doesn't run the church. Thank God for that. So, in some countries, it does. And those churches have very few people in them. God runs this church. You and I are the ones who support the ministry so God can run this church. How's that working for you? If God's going to bless you and me, that means that you and I need to step up and we need to give it up for Jesus. But can you? Will you pray with me? Lord God, I have to apologize because you know as well as anyone that a preacher just can't talk quick. There are things of yours we have to say. Lord, I pray that we all hear your message and that we trust you for the outcome, that we fully trust you, that you may receive the benefit and you may receive the glory and we may be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.